Welcome to installment number 321 of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Prohibition number 317, that one is not allowed to curse a person. And positive commandment 178 begins our discussion of the laws of testimony with the general positive commandment that one is required to testify when he has information which would be helpful to the court. In yesterday's portion, we learned about two prohibitions about cursing. Prohibition 315, not to curse a judge, and 316, not to curse a nasi, or a leader among the Jewish people. Prohibition 317 comes to include a prohibition against cursing any Jew. This prohibition derives from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 14, which states, Lei sakal el chedesh, that you should not curse a deaf person. The Rambam goes on a lengthy explanation in Sefer HaMitzvos to explain why it is that the Chumash phrases itself in such a way. Why say do not curse a deaf person, making it seem as if only a deaf person is prohibited to curse. Seemingly that another Jew who is not deaf, one is allowed to curse. To explain this, the Rambam goes into a lengthy explanation of the desire to curse and where it comes from in a person's soul, in the nefesh of a person. To summarize the Rambam's argument, the Rambam says that when a person has something bad or unfavorable done to him, or even if he imagines something has been done against him, he has a desire to take revenge, to do something against that person who did something to him. And according to the severity of what was done to him, or what he imagines was done to him, according to this will be the severity of what he wants to inflict upon the enemy. There might be a person who will be satisfied with the revenge of cursing or shaming the one who harmed him. That since he has caused harm to this person in return and shamed him, that this will be enough to calm down his own excitement and his own anger. But there could be a person that either something worse was done to him, or he imagines that it was worse, and that will not be enough to calm him down. He will not calm down until he has destroyed or taken away all of the possessions of the person who harmed him. And because he has caused such pain and discomfort to the other person, this will calm down his desire for revenge. There could be another person or another situation where this also will not satisfy his urge. And until he causes physical damage and beats the person, or even more so, should take one of his limbs off, God forbid, that until he does that, this will not satisfy his anger or revenge. And there could be the ultimate level that he will not be satisfied and will not calm down. His desire for revenge will not disappear until he actually kills the person that harmed him and actually destroys his utter existence. Then there could be a person who is really not so upset at all, but nevertheless is upset enough that he wants to do something. So he curses the person because of his pain and because of his anger. He curses the person who harmed him. And even if he doesn't curse the person to his face, this is enough to settle him down. As we see, that Rambam says that even people who are angry by nature, if something very slight should be done against them, that just to curse the other person or to speak badly about them, even not in their presence, so the other person never will find out that he said anything and will never even hear what he said, that this will be enough to calm him down. Now, is there anything wrong with uttering such a curse? We might think that the reason cursing is forbidden because it will cause pain to the other person or cause shame to the other person. Therefore, if the other one does not hear it, it would not be prohibited. And therefore also, who would be the paradigm, an example of someone who would not hear? A deaf person. Would you then be allowed to curse a deaf person? This is what the Torah comes to teach you. The one is forbidden from cursing anybody, even if they don't hear, and even if they will not find out about it. Any situation of cursing is forbidden by the Torah. And the Rambam says that we see in this an amazing principle the Torah is teaching us. That the reason for the prohibition against cursing or speaking badly about another one is not because he will mind, and not because he will be angry. Rather, the Torah is telling us that this is for his own good. that the Torah is not prohibiting cursing because of what's going to happen to the one being cursed. Rather, it is prohibiting it for the one who is doing the cursing. That the Torah is telling him that he should not be vindictive, and he should control his anger and not curse another person. This is a clear example of what the Rambam mentions in his legal code, that the majority of the mitzvahs are given in order to straighten out people's behavior. So over here, the person will be behaving properly not only because he is not allowed to harm someone else, but the Torah is teaching how he himself should be behaving. And therefore, the Torah tells him, do not even curse a deaf person. Even if you will do no harm to him, it is nevertheless prohibited, because you won't be doing anything to him, but you will be doing something to yourself. The Rambam then brings some other lessons which we can learn from the choice of the Torah, of the words cheresh, of a deaf person, as the Sifra explains, how do we know that one is not allowed to curse any person? And the Sifra quotes, Ba'am cholei soer, that someone among your people you shall not curse, meaning it includes any person, not only a judge. Why then is the word cheresh used to refer to a deaf person? This, says the Sifra, means anyone who is similar to a deaf person. That although the deaf person cannot hear, he is still alive. A dead person, although he also does not hear, one might think that the prohibition is against cursing him too. However, the Sifra states that in that case he will not be chayev malchus, he will not be punished by lashes. That the Torah draws the limit at a live person. If the person should be dead, one does not get the biblical prohibition for cursing him. And the Mechilta also says that the idea of a cheresh, a deaf person, is someone very unfortunate, in a poor condition, a low condition physically, due to the lack of this particular sense. So to anyone who is low, one is specifically warned and carefully discouraged from cursing. In other words, since it might be more likely to curse such a person because he is unfortunate, the Torah gives a specific indication that we are prohibited from cursing him. As we've mentioned in the previous shiurim, the penalty for this is lashes. And the Rambam says even if one curses himself, he also gets lashes. And as we mentioned in the previous shiurim, and as the Rambam says explicitly in Prohibition 317, if one curses a judge, he gets two sets of lashes. One for Prohibition 315, not to curse a judge, and this commandment today for cursing any Jew. And for cursing a Nasi, one gets three. One for the Nasi, 316, one for the Dayan, 315, and one for any Jew, 317. And similarly, the Mechilta says that from the verse saying that you are not allowed to curse a Nasi, we would be able to derive that one may not curse a judge. Why then do we need both? And the Mechilta says that it counts as two separate prohibitions, one for cursing the Nasi and one for cursing the judge. And from here we see that there could be a case that through one curse, a person could get four sets of lashes. If it's the son of a Nasi who curses his father, he would get four sets of lashes. One because he cursed a Jew, another because he cursed a judge, another because he cursed a Nasi, and a fourth because he cursed his father. As this is also a specific prohibition of the Torah, that a child is forbidden from cursing a parent. Therefore, he would get four sets of malchus. However, he only gets lashes, as the Rambam says here and explicates upon in his legal code, if one uses the name of Hashem, uses one of the names, or as he explains in his legal code, even one of the names is translated into non-Jewish languages. Only after using such a name would it be a biblical prohibition and one would get lashes for. Although the Rambam explains in Sefer HaMitzvahs the idea of this commandment, that it is to prevent damage even to the person's own soul as a result of his increasing his desire for vengeance and anger, even though it does not affect the subject of his curse, the Chinuch explains, using the Gemara, that it will have some effect on the one being cursed as well. That even without doing an act, that Hashem has given in the world a certain power for us to damage each other merely by the power of speech. As the Gemara says, "Bris krusulis fasayim," that there is a covenant placed with the lips, that once a statement is uttered, it has some effect. And as the Alter Rebbe brings in his Shulchan Aruch, that when a statement is made, although we might not see a physical effect, it could perhaps have an effect in a spiritual realm. As an example is given, that a parent is not allowed to tell a child that he's going to be taken away by some non-kosher creature, like the dog will take you away, and so on. That even though it might be only to scare the child, and the dog will never come, nevertheless, there are names of certain mazikim, certain spiritual beings, which also have the name of dog or cat. And although the physical one might not come, the spiritual one can come, and therefore cause a spiritual harm to the person. And as the Chinuch explains at length, that there are some souls, being as a result of their increased holiness, whose speech has a swift effect. As the Talmud says, that the word of tzaddikim does not return empty, and it has an immediate effect and a powerful effect, even merely their power of speech. Positive commandment 178 is the positive commandment to offer testimony. The commandment is that if we have seen or heard something relevant to a case, we are required to testify as to what we have seen or heard. This applies whether the effect of our testimony will be to harm the person who is being testified about, or to save him, and whether monetarily or physically. Whether your testimony will result in the death penalty of a person, or to absolve him of the death penalty, to cause a loss of money or a gain of money. Regardless of the result, if we know testimony, we are required to give it. As our sages derive from the book of Leviticus, chapter 5, verse 1, "V'hu eid a ro a yoda," that if a person was a witness to a case, if he saw something or knew something, he is required to testify. And the penalty is very severe for someone who knows and does not testify. As the verse concludes, "Im le yagid v'nosa v'ne," if he does not give his testimony, he must bear the punishment for the sin himself. It is as if he himself has done the sin. This, the Rambam says, is a general result of not testifying. But in particular, the verses later on specify that if someone has been brought to court in a monetary case, and he swears that he does not know anything, and in reality he does have testimony to give, then the law is he must bring a sin offering, and a sin offering which is adjustable according to his income, a korban elevated, as we discussed previously in the law regarding this sacrifice, and is explained in the Talmudic tractate Shvuos. The details of the laws of testimony are explained in tractate Sanhedrin and Shvuos, and we will be spending more time as we go further in the many commandments associated with the laws of testimony in the following days, God willing.